Okay, all right, we're going to get started now. Again, this is, I'm not sure whether this is part 3 or part 4, but it will be the last part of Revelation chapter 11. We've been looking at Revelation chapter 11 for a few weeks now, and we are in the last verse we left on was verse 12, Revelation chapter 11, verse 12. And we read there in verse 12. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the last phrase that we looked at last time when we were looking at here, Revelation 11, was the come up hither. And we saw that come up hither was to come closer to God. And the Lord uses the phrase, and they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. And a cloud identifies with the body of believers. We've looked at this many times in the past. We'll briefly look at this. We read, Behold, he cometh with clouds in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. And every eye shall see him, they also who pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And the Bible teaches us that we are figuratively a cloud of believers. And a cloud, of course, is up in the heavens, and it's high up in the heavens, and it brings forth the rain that will feed the earth for the purpose of bringing forth that seed. That seed, of course, must have good earth to be put into. It must have water, so God sends the clouds to bring the water. The gospel is identified with living water, so it brings that living water. And of course, the light of the gospel, which is Christ, represents the sun, and therein is a picture of the gospel going forth, particularly during the church age. Because that earth identifies with the corporate church. The idea here is to gather together the clouds. We read concerning the clouds, for instance. Let's see what other verses we might see. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man, in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his messengers with the great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heavens on to the other. And of course, this is a picture of the depart out, come out of my people. And the messengers is the body of Christ, declaring the word of God is the sound of a great trumpet, and the elect is being gathered from the four winds of heaven. And we read language, for instance, two are in the field, one is taken, the other left, and so on, in the same context here. Might be this particular gospel, but it might be one of the others. And this is what we're going to find is in view in Revelation 12, because a couple of verses later, the Lord just speaks about the second woe being passed. And this second woe is the removing of the candlestick. The first woe, of course, is the loosing of Satan as a judgment upon the church. Second woe is the removing of God, removing himself altogether, leaving them desolate. We read this kind of a picture here. Gathering together, sending his angels gathering together with the sound of a trumpet. But the idea of the Son of Man coming in the clouds is a picture of Christ within the body, bringing the message, the body bringing a message of God, the true gospel. And so the clouds again are figurative language. In Psalms chapter 147, we read in verse 7, Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praises upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with a cloud, and who prepareth the rain of the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. And this idea of covering the heaven with a cloud, the Bible teaches, and again, we are those clouds, The Bible teaches us that when the Lord came preaching, behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Behold, the kingdom of heaven is within you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we have the picture of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit is poured out into the body of believers. So he was received into a cloud, is what the picture there. We read how the cloud, he uses the clouds to send judgment by bringing lightning and thunders. For instance, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 14, we read, "And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people." To sanctify them is to preach the gospel. "And they washed their clothes." That identifies with the cleansing by the word of God. "And he said unto the people, Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives." And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. And so again, we see this is a picture of judgment, this thick clouds, and the trembling is because they heard the great sounds of a thunder. And it's given us a spiritual picture of our day. The people down in the camps are hearing this trumpet exceedingly loud, and they indeed do tremble. We read in Exodus 13, verse 21, "The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way." And it is the body of Christ that he sends to lead the way to those who would respond and at some point by God's will become born again. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, is a pretty clear picture where the Lord says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that your fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." And we see how God identifies the false prophets as clouds without water, carried about of the winds in Jude chapter 1. For instance, we'll read a few verses here. Verse 10, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not, for what they know naturally is brute beast, in whose the things are corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone of the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are, without water, carried about of the wind, trees whose fruits withered without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the root, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever." So we see Satan brings his ministers of unrighteousness, if I may, and they too appear to be clouds, they appear to be stars, they appear to be witnesses, they appear to be prophets, they claim Jesus, they claim the Holy Spirit, they talk about the Father. It looks real good from the people's perspective who are not reading their Bible, because as you sit and listen very carefully, you will discover that they betray themselves and that they don't truly bring the Word of God. They bring their own Word. So they deceive many, and they appear to be clouds. They appear to be the light, bringing the light of the gospel. And one other verse, which is a picture of Pentecost, and in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, "When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power," or his own authority, in other words, into the word of God, But ye shall receive authority, you shall receive power, you shall receive word after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, Pentecost, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all of Judea, that's the corporate church, and all the way unto the ends of the world through the body of Christ, and in Samaria into the world and the uttermost parts of the earth, and that's where we're at. And so then that's when we'll receive power. That's when we'll receive word concerning when the Lord will come and restore the kingdom of Israel. And indeed, he has given us that word, and we have that understanding through the seals now that have been opened, that we know the ending. And when he had thus spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards the heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also say, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So here we see this picture of the Lord taken up into the heavens to be seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is taken up and goes into a cloud. And that cloud identifies, it is a picture, it is figurative language of Christ going into the body of Christ from the standpoint he is now pouring out his Holy Spirit. And this, again, is Pentecost, it is the focus. And in like manner we'll see him come. So he's again going to come in clouds, and he's going to be revealed from the clouds, and he's going to come out of the clouds, and he's going to be seen in all of his glory on that last day, on Judgment Day itself. And we are those clouds, and we are the witnesses, the messengers that God has sent to bring his word. And when we say, Thus saith the Lord, it is Christ within us, making us to will and to do of his good pleasure, leading us to these things in the Bible to declare his message. Going back to Revelation 11:12, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither, come to Christ, come closer. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. And that's to draw closer to Christ, with the body of Christ, and of course we're coming to the end of the world, which is the picture that's coming up in view. And their enemies beheld them; they saw that they had left, because ultimately this is a picture of also departing out, as we read in the next few verses. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. And the earthquake was slain of men 7,000, and a remnant were frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven. And then in verse 14, the Lord says, The second woe is now past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And we know that second woe has passed, it has come to pass, and we understand it as the sixth trumpet, and the seventh trumpet, the third woe cometh quickly. That seventh trumpet ultimately is Judgment Day itself. And God speaks of the days before the sounding of the seventh trumpet, when they begin to sound. God speaks of the mystery being revealed and so on. And we'll get into that as we get a little further into Revelation. But in this here, we're in verse 14, the second woe is past, and the third woe cometh quickly. So going back to these verses prior to this, the Lord speaks, in that same hour was a great earthquake. And that earthquake identifies with a trembling, ultimately the body of Christ being moved out of its place. And that's why we read Babylon has fallen, that great city, because there was a great earthquake. And that earthquake, again, its falling was caused ultimately the complete destruction, the complete falling, the complete judgment upon that church, until the point, at least, of Judgment Day itself, which is coming very close, but judgment beginning at the house of God, was God removing himself, removing the candlestick, which was the warning of Revelation chapter 2. To the first church, if you don't repent and return and to turn to your first love, I will remove that candlestick. And so that's why Babylon has fallen. There's been a great earthquake. There's been a great moving of the body of Christ. And they have been left desolate. Babylon has fallen. The great city, Babylon, that's the corporate body. And so we read on, and a tenth part of the city fell. And the idea of the fact that a tenth is in view, the number 10 is what is in view, and really that is bringing us to the completion of the destruction that God has in view for that church. That's really what that is all about. The tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake was slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted. Seven is the perfection. 1,000 is the completeness, so it's the complete perfection of the destruction that God has in view concerning this earthquake. And then it talks about the remnant were affrighted. And we know that the Bible teaches us that the remnant identifies with the body of Christ. We are a remnant saved by grace. And God gives us those examples of remnants, three souls to five cities, eight souls to an entire world in the days of Noah or in Lot, those three souls. And that's the picture he gives us. We know that God is speaking of the body of Christ responding. Many in the churches responded to the message, come out of her, my people. And they heard that message, and they repented. And that's the message of today, that the body of Christ has been bringing since that time, is that the hour of judgment has come. We read about this in Revelation chapter 14, verse 7. We started in verse 6, and I saw another messenger fly in the midst of heaven, or move through the body of Christ, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindreds and tongues and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God. Fear God. That's the beginning of the message. Fear God and give glory to Him. And what is God telling us here that the remnant is doing? The remnant were affrighted and gave glory to God. They heard the message. They feared Him and gave glory to Him. And that's precisely the message that the body of Christ has been bringing these days. Fear God, give glory to Him, and declaring for the hour of judgment has come. And they've responded to that by coming out themselves, recognizing that the hour of judgment has come. And worship Him that made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the fountains of water. People are too busy worshiping the earth, worshiping the church, worshiping their church fathers, the books of dead men, and so on. They bend their knee to the church and not to God, not to Christ. And so, therefore, this is the message. The hour of judgment has come. Worship Him that made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And there followed another messenger saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she has made the nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So there is the falling of the city at the very same time that God is giving the message to the body of Christ to come out and to declare that the hour of judgment has come. And that's when we started to declare that judgment has come upon the churches, at that point when we were coming out. And we continue to declare that. So the verse 14. The second woe is past, and we did a study on the three woes, and it is very, very clear. And anybody interested could go up onto the BibleOnly.net and drop down on that study and re-listen to it. And those three woes identify with trumpet number 5, and trumpet number 6, and trumpet number 7. And God makes it very clear that these three woes are chronological. He speaks of the first woe coming, and then the first woe passing. Behold, two more woes hereafter. Second woe comes, and the second woe passes, and behold, one more woe hereafter. So the second woe is past. Revelation 11:14. God is making it clear that this is the time of coming out. Come up hither. Come up. Come out of her. Come up into the mountain. Depart out, for the hour of judgment has come. And the seventh messenger sounded, and that is Judgment Day itself, the sounding of the seventh messenger. We read, let's see, in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, oh no, that's where we're at. Revelation, I think we get the picture of this in chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10, and this is the picture of the seventh messenger. we read, and I saw another mighty messenger, that's Christ himself, come down from heaven clothed with a cloud. We're the cloud which Christ is clothed with, he's covered with, he's in a cloud. We get a picture of him sitting on a cloud in Revelation also, which is a picture of him ruling and reigning. And where do we find Christ ruling and reigning? In the hearts of those who believe. So here is this mighty messenger come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And so here is a picture of the body of Christ bringing judgment, and it is Christ within us that is bringing that judgment and declaring that judgment. And he indeed is the light of the world. And his feet as pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth. And that's a picture of him coming in judgment onto the world and onto the church. But judgment begins in the house of God, and it does continue and interpret out into the world too. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth, and he is the Lion of Judah. And he is bringing judgment. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. The body of Christ declared that message. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the messengers which I saw stood upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up their hands to heaven, and swear. And the messenger which I saw stand, this is Christ, stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever. And since Christ can swear by no one greater than himself, he swore by himself. He swore by himself that liveth forever and ever, who created the heavens and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. And that is judgment day itself. That's the end of the world. And that's when we're changed in the twinkling of an eye. But the Lord gives us a little more information about this time. And this is the time period we're in right now, where the Lord says in verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. The mystery of God is ultimately focusing in on the work of God, the end of the world, and the day of judgment, the day that will change in the twinkling of an eye, the declaring, and of course these trumpets we're blowing now is the trumpet of judgment. It is the trumpet declaring that the king is coming, and to the world the enemy is coming, because God is the enemy of the world, and he's coming with great wrath and destruction and judgment. And so there is the warning, the sounding of the trumpets, the warning to the world, and the judgment upon the church is the beginning of seeing the judgment of God. And that becomes the signs ultimately that leads us to understand that we indeed are at the end. But you know, when a king comes, the first thing that happens is the trumpeters go before the king and blow the trumpets to declare that the king is coming. Be ready, get ready, the king is coming. And people will crowd to see the king and bend the knee. As the king comes, they're being prepared. And that's exactly the picture that Christ has given us, that we are sent forth to declare that message, to sound that trumpet, to bring forth that warning. The king is coming. The end of the world is near. Judgment day has arrived. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, you know, is coming close. It draws nigh, of course, through salvation in itself, but in a literal sense from the standpoint that the end of the world is upon us. Back to Revelation 11:15, and the seventh messenger sounded the sounds of judgment day, and when there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God in their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God. And these 24 elders identify and represent the body of Christ. 12 old, 12 new, the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles, And you put them together, there's 24, 2 times 12. 12 is the fullness of the body of Christ, 2 is the number of the church, in this case the true church of God, and again 24 elders, which is in view. So 24 identifies with that. And they fell upon their face and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. And all the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time that the dead, that they should be judged. You see, judgment day is here. And and here the Lord has been reigning now, you know, 1,000 years he's been reigning in the body of Christ, from the cross all the way up to the end. And 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. And God identifies that there is this time period of 2,000 years. We see this in a couple of places in the Bible, which identifies with the church age. The number 2 is in view. But now the time of his wrath has come, and the time that the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give its reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name. And the fear of God is the beginning of understanding and wisdom. That fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them that destroy the earth. And the earth was the sanctuary of the Lord. It was the place, it identifies with the corporate church, the place where the God placed the high places and was giving the gospel, people becoming sanctified. But he's now coming to destroy them which destroyed his sanctuary, which destroyed his church, his holy place, coming in judgment. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark and his covenant, the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunders and earthquake and great hail. Hang on a second. All right, I think that's the end, verse 19, and great hail. Now here we have this picture of seeing Christ coming out of the body. It's okay. Seeing Christ coming out of the body, and I don't know how he's going to accomplish that, but Christ is within us, and he identifies with us, and we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. This mortal must put on immortality. And so we see this picture, and the Lord said, as he was taken up into the clouds, you're going to see him coming back out of the clouds at the end of the world on Judgment Day. So Christ is actually in the midst of us, and he's going to come out from within us. He's going to become out from us, and he's going to judge his world, and the world will see him in all of his glory, and we too will reflect the glory of God by the changing and the twinkling of an eye, by putting the Lord changing, giving us our eternal spiritual bodies. Let me see. I think that's the end. Yes, in great hail. Now I'm going to stop there. We'll pick up number 12 another day. I'm not sure what chapter we're going to go into next. But in any event, that brings Revelation chapter 11 to an end. And if anybody has any questions or comments or any corrections that could be brought up, feel free to raise your hand and pick up the mic.